from your home of idle chatter from idyllic Viroqua, Wisconsin, semi-live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Hi, Guy.
Hi.
How's things?
Good.
Great. All right, good show. Nailed it.
Well,
yeah,
you know.
Nailed it this time. Yeah, yeah. I mean, stop while we're ahead, right? It's
that was a great show.
It was.
Goodbye.
Best one we've done. Yeah. Mistake-free. We're here on a Tuesday. It is Tuesday, right? It's got a feel to a Tuesday all day.
Tuesday.
Yep.
December.
Tuesday in December really does feel like Tuesday in December. It's you
dark.
Know, dark. And it's dark and cold. Yeah. Oh, that was weather and not a lot of traffic. So we checked it all off the box early. Good sports week, right?
Your Packers won. My Minnesota Vikings won.
I mean, and I'm going to just say my Wisconsin Badgers basketball. My Wisconsin Badger basketball team won.
Again.
Yeah, they are continuing to be a team on a roll. I will briefly touch, before I get excited about Badgers,
yeah.
I will get disappointed about the Badgers. Their football team lost to Minnesota.
Minnesota took the axe back.
Took the axe. They won, 24-7.
Yeah.
I had the misfortune of watching and listening to that entire game, and there was a brief moment in the first quarter where I thought they might be able to pull even.
Sure.
Otherwise, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like, their quarterback, Braden Locke, played like he'd like to transfer out of Wisconsin. I mean, it really was. Like, they're nothing.
Do you think it just took the wind out of the sail? I mean, they just have no hope right now for anything. Is it just, what is it?
It's, they're at the bottom of the Paul Christ for everything, their previous coach, for everything he was bad at, which was, it seemed like in big moments, in big games, he would drop the ball. His recruiting was really, really good, and maybe that was because they had really good assistant coaches.
Sure.
Because there's a couple of them that are really good assistant coaches elsewhere or head coaches elsewhere.
Jim Leonard.
But they recruited well. So you had really good talent. It looks like those guys either transferred or graduated out in the last couple of years. Luke Fickell, for as good as he's recruited, those guys are young that he has recruited in are now in his first and second year. So, yeah, you're seeing just the bottom of as bad as it can be, because it really, really can't get worse than this. It's never been in my lifetime worse than this as a Badger football. Like, they were bad before Barry Alvarez got there. They were unspeakably bad. Like, they were forgettable every year.
Right.
But since then, and that's been 30 years, they've been at least a team that makes bowl games, has national prominence.
One of the 30 games.
But makes it, you know, finishes above the 500 mark, finishes in the top half of the Big Ten, produces Heisman Trophy winners, produces draft picks, you know, like, does something
running
nationally.
Backs and defensive
offensive linemen, defensive linemen, yep. Cornerbacks. They've had guys do, but so this is about as bad as it gets. So next year really is that last year. Like, if Fickell fails, and if anything beyond like 7-5 and above, has to be 7-5 and above, he's gone, and you can call that a bad hire, and you can
which
blame.
Is really weird, because everybody was so, like,
me too,
hopeful.
Yes. And maybe getting rid of their offensive coordinator, because they are also trying really hard to become this spread offense, run and gun style, and that doesn't work in the Big Ten, because you're playing against teams that are used to it. The West Coast teams that are now in the Big Ten, they see spread offense all the time, and you can't play spread offense in December in Pennsylvania. It doesn't fly at Northwestern Stadium. You literally can't throw the ball. You can't make it fly when the wind is 40 miles an hour in your face, and it is for like half the season. So, yeah, Badger football, I guess I touched more than briefly on it. They lost 24-7, finished 5-7, will not make a bowl game unless they're like a backup pick for something bowl game, like some back channel way to keep their streak alive, but I don't think they will. So that'll be it for them for the year. And they lost, I don't know, I saw like a half a dozen recruits leaving already.
Yeah.
You know, recruiting now is a 24-7 ball game. You got to be doing it all the time. Recruits coming and going this time of year, announcing transfers. You can't transfer in, but you can transfer out anytime that the season's over till whenever. So Hopefully they pick up some players. Sure. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about a lot of young players hopefully fitting in and playing better than they did this year. So, okay. Yeah, go Bucky. On the very much plus side, their basketball team is 8-0. They beat a University of, what was it, Chicago?
Chicago State.
There we go, Chicago State, which I guess isn't a real real big. I think they're in the Horizon League.
Sure.
Yeah, they're sitting at 11th in the country.
Yeah, I see that.
They are scoring buckets. They are putting up some. Greg Gard can apparently coach. Yeah, he coaches. He looks like he's not coaching, but apparently he's coaching pretty well because they've got John Tanji is an incredibly great – they got him as a recruit this year. He spent a couple of years just sort of wandering around college basketball. He's found a real home in his now sixth year, and he's 20-some points a game, which puts him as like a top 10 scorer in college basketball. He took the place of AJ Storr, who last year was their big scorer, but he was a really inefficient scorer, like a 40% run and gun, you know, sure, irrational confidence kind of guy. And John Tanji just comes up, makes all his free throws, makes the right play. Good. He's shooting 55% from the field. He's been really, really good. Nolan Winter was a freshman last year who put up, again, 2 points and one rebound in 8 minutes. Some really insignificant amount, but, you know, was a big recruit coming in. He's a guy from Minnesota, of course, because yeah, that's just what they do. The Gophers can't get him, but apparently the Badgers can continue to get all of them. John Blackwell's playing really well as a sophomore.
Okay.
Yeah, they haven't lost yet.
Have they really played anybody decently?
Well, no, not really, but... They will.
Pittsburgh.
You've got. Yeah, Pittsburgh is a real game. They.
James Madison. Oh, you lost that one. Oh, that's a tournament. Sorry.
Yep. Yeah, that was way back. Right. No, they're. I mean, they're starting their Big Ten season. They've got coming up Michigan. Michigan. Is that tonight? Yeah, tonight at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. So I will be catching that. Starts in a couple minutes.
Big game will be Saturday. They got Marquette.
Marquette is really, really, really good. Yeah, it's amazing how much talent has all of a sudden found themselves in Wisconsin and Marquette nationally, sitting at Marquette's fifth in the country. Badgers are sitting at 11th. Yeah, so they're in their meat, really.
Like, yeah.
They've got a 6-1 Michigan, an undefeated Marquette, and after that they travel to Illinois, and then Butler after that. So really, this 1-2-3-4 game stretch before the real part of the Big Ten season starts. Sure. By this time, call it next week, next time we meet, you'll know a lot more about this Badger team. If they can find themselves at, you know, 11-1, 12-0, you know, even lose a couple of these games, because they beat an Arizona team that was really good. They've beat some really good teams this year, Pittsburgh. But they've also beat some teams that are barely above the NAIA Division II line.
Right.
Just barely there. Okay. So that was about as much Badger. Like I said, it's nice this early in the season to see them being the 11th best team in the country. It means they're going to be on ESPN a lot this year.
Nice.
Oh yeah, I can watch, because Big Ten Network is not carried. I currently don't get the Big Ten Network, so ESPN is where it's at for me to catch any Badger game. That was almost, was that everything? Bucks won 6 in a row. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As we continue to not talk about them, they continue to win. So I'm going to keep that streak alive and just say they're playing a lot better.
It's a long season. I mean, they're fifth right now in the Eastern.
They're fifth. Well, there, I was going to, the only thing I did notice about them is there is between the fifth best and 12th best team in the Eastern Conference is four games. There's a four-game difference between the top of that Eastern Conference between Cleveland and
Boston.
Celtics.
Yep.
Everybody, and the Knicks, I think. Everybody else.
Magic.
Are right. Yeah, Magic look good. I don't know, again, much about that part of the NBA. And
last time I followed the Magic was
Shaq.
Yeah.
Real that far. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that was a long time ago, but that was also the last time they were relevant in the NBA. So you and most of the general public forgot about the Magic as a franchise.
Timberwolves are 11th.
Okay. Yeah. It's real early, but it's not real early, because you're sitting at 17 out of 82 games. You're going through the NBA Cup schedule currently, which, I mean, you can win a prize. If you win this tournament, you can win something. Literally, yeah. You can win a trophy and some cash.
Ask the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they looked really excited to win this thing. But, yeah, as far as who's playing well, Dame Lillard's playing really well. Everybody on the Bucks who you'd think should be playing well is playing well. They still haven't found a second guard because Chris Middleton is just kind of in and out. Chris Middleton is not
reliable. But he didn't have really a point guard that you could have to rely on.
Dame Lillard is this year playing much more like he should play, but he still doesn't play defense. He's just must be in his contract somewhere. He just refuses to play both sides of the court. So,
okay,
that's the Bucks.
Football.
Yeah, let's get it. I'm going to start with something that is Green Bay Packer adjacent, which is the finalists for the Football Hall of Fame were announced.
Oh,
did you? If you want to look up who was on that. The two players, the two people that I want to talk about, one of them is a player and one of them is a coach. Both of them Green Bay Packer related. The two finalists for the Hall of Fame were Mike Holmgren,
Sterling Sharp,
and Sterling Sharp. Sterling Sharp was my first favorite, my first taste of like favorite. Oh my gosh, watching him as a young person, as a youngster, he got hurt. I remember the game he got hurt in. He was just amazing to watch. He made like four Pro Bowls. He only played like 7-8 years before he had a neck injury that his career was done. No comebacks. No try it again next year. The older brother of Shannon Sharp, the Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame tight end. Sterling Sharp was every bit as talented as his brother was. He played at a spot. For wide receivers that made it hard for him to be anything but like the top five receiver.
Sure.
Because you played with Jerry Rice and Chris Carter. You played against some really, really talented with people putting up really big numbers, Herman Moore. You know, like, so Sterling Sharp is a finalist. This is his last chance.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of like how baseball works where you got to get a percentage, and this is his last year to get on. So, I mean, I have nothing to do with it. It's a whole bunch of people who vote for it. My guess is he doesn't make it into the Hall of Fame.
Probably not.
He probably just misses out. I'm pretty sure Mike Holmgren makes it in.
Yeah.
The Mike Holmgren coaching tree for a long time was every bit as strong as the Sean McVay coaching tree is now. You could even say they're sort of kind of related. But Mike Holmgren was an assistant coach for the 49ers. He became the head coach for the Packers and got Brett Favre.
Yeah.
And he became really good. They won a ton of games, and they won a Super Bowl.
Here's a list of the other semifinalists that were in that same category for coaching.
Sure.
Tom Coughlin, Chuck Knox, Dan Reeves, Marty Schottenheimer, George Seifert.
Can't believe Marty Schottenheimer isn't
Mike
in the Hall
Shanahan.
Of Fame. Same thing, Mike Shanahan, right? He's won two Super Bowls.
Tom Coughlin, though.
Same deal. They also had some years where he's a guy who's been fired, right? Like he got fired for the Jaguars after that puts a real mark for a lot of people they remember. But yeah, on the top of that list, Mike Holmgren's better than all those coaches.
Mike Shanahan?
Yeah, I think so, maybe. Mm. Yeah. I mean I
Dan
like
Dan Reeves?
Same thing. Well, I mean, Dan Reeves is surprising that he's not already in.
Right.
They went to four. So he went to four Super Bowls.
Yeah, I think so.
You would think that alone would have gotten Dan Reeves in a long time ago. And he was a coach for the Falcons, and they were pretty good for a while there, too.
Yeah.
Pro Football Hall of Fame coming up. I guess it's I'm always rooting for some Packer.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, any Vikings on that list? Did they almost?
There wasn't. Because they're already in.
Oh, no, they have not. Who's the last Viking that got in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
It's been a while for him, right?
Well, no, there is one on the list. Not active, but
Gary Anderson?
Jared Allen.
He's
on that list
this year. He was great. Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Oh, maybe. Fingers crossed, right? Maybe.
John Randall is probably on that list.
He's Dolman. Gotta be in already, right?
Yeah.
In there already?
Yeah, he is. Anyway,
so that
we're only going to half hour today.
That's it? Oh, man.
We got 15 minutes.
Good. All right, can we Can we fill 15 minutes with NFL stuff?
Maybe.
What happened? Let's start with the fun things.
Start with your Packers.
No. Let's start with something really fun. The Bears fired their head coach.
Really? What a shock.
Did you see why they fired their head coach?
Well, yeah, because he messed up a game again on a decision.
It was one of the worst worst plays as a coach.
38 seconds left.
Yep.
He gets sacked.
They sacked Caleb Williams. They had a third down. They did not have to go for it. They could have two plays. You could see Caleb Williams didn't know the play, couldn't hear. The coaches decided not to call a timeout, which at any point when your rookie quarterback is throwing up his hands with the panic signal, now would be the time to call a timeout and say,
And then the play they ran.
Well, Caleb Williams had to invent one. He pulled one out and said, okay, I know I don't have enough time to do two plays anymore. At least Caleb Williams was smart enough to know that his coach failed him, because he knew at least we got to run a play that goes to the goal line, because we now have 8 seconds instead of 38.
Yeah, but they could have kicked a field goal.
They could have done to tie it. They could have called that timeout, thought to themselves, okay, why don't we just take this thing to overtime? We are really lucky that we didn't blow it here at the end. Let's call a timeout. That's what a real coach would do.
Yeah, a good coach.
The Bears decided to try to outsmart everybody by panic sprinting up to the line and calling some play. And I capped it off with, it was on Thanksgiving. It was on national TV. Normally, that game would not have been on TV. You wouldn't have seen that game.
Who'd they play?
Who did they play? Was that the Vikings?
No.
No, it was the Bears. Right? No, the Lions. Sorry, it was the Lions game.
Yeah, it was the Lions.
Yeah. I was going to say Cowboys, but that is not correct. No. Cowboys played another awful, awful team. Somehow that team looked better than the other awful team.
But no, the Bears, yeah, but the thing is, it wasn't just that isolated incident.
No.
It's been going back several, I mean.
That was the same team that lost on a Hail Mary because their players weren't in the right position and weren't coached well enough to know that you got to go deep.
Their cornerback was not even paying attention, not even looking.
No.
And he was taunting the crowd.
Yes. Yeah.
Idiot.
That would have been enough to get your coach fired.
Yeah.
Just bad going into the season as the coach being the biggest weakness on that entire franchise, on that entire roster. It wasn't their offense, wasn't their defense, wasn't their kicking game. It was their head coach, and that was the known weakness.
So the problem they're going to come up with is, who wants that job?
Well, that's the thing, is you're going to be the last hire by a GM who should be on his way out.
Yeah,
anyway,
he should have been out too.
I can't believe they didn't clean house with all of that.
Well,
there's
right
nothing
now,
that
you still got several games left.
You're not wrong.
You got to have some semblance of
that. Feels like a spot where you wouldn't, if you're the top coach, which would probably be like the Lions offensive coordinator.
Yes.
You have seen,
yeah, but
being the Lions OC, you've seen the dysfunction pretty close with the Bears for the last couple decades.
Right.
You want nothing to do with that. You.
I mean, what any decent candidate. The three jobs that are going to be open for sure right now are Dallas,
mm-hmm.
or not Dallas. It's the Saints. Sorry, New Orleans Saints.
Yes.
Chicago. What's the, there's no more. No
I think
more.
That's it so far.
Is it
so far? But
Dallas,
I mean,
will be.
That Dallas will be. Jacksonville will be. I mean, you.
Yeah.
There's some teams that are just real, real bad.
Stefanski at Cleveland.
It's. I mean, that's the thing where if you're fancy at Cleveland, you'd like to be fired. You'd like to be able to choose next year to go coach for
Chicago.
Anybody. Either be Chicago's coach or go be the OC, the quarterback, go be the consultant for Alabama for a year. Anything to get out of Cleveland.
But it's got to be the right coach, though, with Caleb Williams.
Correct.
You know, to develop him, you've got to have, you know, someone like O'Connell.
Well, that's the thing.
A quarterback whisperer.
There's enough evidence out there that hire the hot offensive coordinator and he's going to be fine. That's the general rule.
Usually.
Like, all the guys that you've named were the top offensive assistant for a team that was really good, made the Super Bowl, whatever it was.
Mike Grable.
So whoever it was, you hire that guy and you go with it. But if you're that guy, you don't want to go to any of the places we just named. Yeah. The Saints seem nice, but this isn't 15 years ago.
Right.
Sean Payton's not walking through that door. Drew Brees not walking through that door. Like, they're not.
Carr shouldn't be walking through that door.
But that's the thing. Walking through the door are some bad players. Yes, yeah. That's how you get fired, I guess. That's how you fire your coach. Not through the entire season, is you've got some bad players on that team too.
All right, enough Chicago. That's too much. Too much.
That was a lot. That was more than they deserve.
How about your Packers? Factual. How'd they do?
They won once again.
Where they play?
They played the Dolphins.
Hmm.
They played the Dolphins on Thanksgiving. Yeah, they were
at home. Yeah,
and it looked very much like Miami had never seen snow before. It looks like when you get a new dog and it's the first time they've seen snow, and you open up the door and they're like, "Oh, we're gonna." You can see like they were pumped before the game started, but as soon as their feet touched the snow, it was game over.
I watched warm ups, and the Packer players were out in just short sleeve
t-shirts, game time, whatever. Yeah.
And then the Miami players were like in sweats and a sweatshirt and hat, you know, all that stuff. And you go,
Yeah, this is game over.
Yeah, they're not going to change that narrative.
This is why they showed the stat. It was like Miami was 0-7 when the game was below 40 degrees since their coach has been a coach. And I'm guessing that goes back probably a lot of years because they play most of their games in Miami. So they're not, they don't have a lot of need for cold weather players, we'll say, or even cold weather gear.
But they Tua was like, "Yeah, we're gonna have to change this narrative." And well, you had to, but
clear from the opening jump that you can talk some of the numbers from it if you need to, but
nah, we don't have to. This is Packers.
It was just they played way better.
Yeah,
it just level. Then
now let me ask you though, if the place were reversed, so if Green Bay played at Miami, would you feel a lot differently about playing that team?
I mean, they won by 13. They put up 30. I don't think there would be a 13-point swing if they would have played in Miami. I don't think it wasn't one of those blizzard games, right? Like, it was just regular NFL cold.
The Buffalo game?
That Buffalo game, that's so much fun to watch. And Buffalo, once again, looks like the best team in the AFC because they just keep showing up in these big spots and playing and outplaying everybody in the snow. They looked great. But no.
How do you feeling about your Packers right now?
They're
like with Minnesota. I mean, they're going to hit the wild card unless they really stumble.
Right.
You know, how far can they make it in the playoffs?
I think they can win. They're going to win their opening game, right? Like, they should be at this point. You can see who their opponent would be to open it up. You're looking at a winner of the NFC South type of thing, right? Like, you'd be playing in the opener. You'd winner the NFC West, but you're playing a team that won their division. You're having to travel to the Rams. Maybe you're having to travel to Seattle. Seattle keeps winning. Those are winnable games.
Yeah.
Green Bay on the road against any team in the NFC West, I would take Green Bay. Green Bay on the road against any team in the NFC South, I would take Green Bay. That looks like your opener, right? Like I'm in my head picturing the bracket.
I can't bring out the bracket.
And that's assuming also Green Bay's got their game of the year once again this weekend.
This weekend will
determine this Thursday. Today's Tuesday, Thursday night. Clear your calendar, everyone. I'm sure you did. Because, Green Bay, 7 o'clock against Detroit. That's a big old game. That's the game of the year for the Packers because that is now you're chasing, first time in a very long time, you're officially chasing the Lions, have been for the entire season.
Sort of first and foremost.
I mean, kind of, sort of, but on paper, I don't think Green Bay is worse than Minnesota, right? Like they're
even.
Their quarterback. If we lined them up,
I just found the playoff picture this way. If it were be played right now, Green Bay plays Seattle. Minnesota played Atlanta.
I mean, Kirk Cousins. Wouldn't that be a fun one? How would you feel about?
Well, we're going to see
Kirk Cousins against his old team. Is that this weekend?
That's who
you got this weekend.
Yeah, at home.
Kirk Cousins is going back.
Yes.
Yelling skull with his shirt off again as a visitor.
Do
you think they're going to let him bring out the dad jeans and ring the bell one more time?
I don't think they care.
No. Well, no, they probably don't. Minnesota hasn't missed Kirk Cousins?
No.
No?
I would right now take Darnold over Cousins any day of the week.
I mean, Kirk Cousins is he's playing better. Kirk Cousins. I was gonna say Darnold is playing better than Kirk Cousins at this point, and Kirk Cousins is on the hook. I mean, they're talking about Kirk Cousins as a guy who could possibly be benched.
They're talking about maybe trading him in the offseason at this point.
So funny.
It's hilarious. I mean, he's going to be rich.
How many times are these franchises willing? Are you going to realize that these owners are willing to pay $70 million for 1 year of a quarterback? Like, they will try out a Russell Wilson.
Do you need a quarterback? I mean, look at Atlanta. They haven't any quarterback.
Did they need one? Let's say, I mean, if they would have had somebody else, if they would have started Michael Penix this year.
Yeah, they probably could have gotten, I mean, that could have probably went a lot better.
They would be in the same position that they would be this year, and they wouldn't have to.
They're not on the hook for 180 for 3 years,
right?
Or whatever.
So I mean,
yeah, no.
Kirk Cousins is replaceable this year. You wouldn't have thought that going into the offseason. His signing with Atlanta, you thought was going to change Atlanta's fortune. Like, oh, they.
Well, it did. It looked like it was.
And they are still a playoff team.
They've got three losses in a row though now, so I don't know what's going on. By the way, you've got 2.5 minutes left.
Dang. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that other team.
No, the Vikings won.
They won. Well,
it didn't look pretty.
No, what was the...
The general... 23-22, worst half of I've seen of the team so far.
First or second half?
First half.
Okay.
Played the second half, Cardinals. I mean, until like the fourth quarter. But the Cardinal defense was actually really... I mean, they were pretty decent. I was fairly surprised. And so, I mean, everybody's like, yeah, their defense is pretty, you know, formidable. So, they won. Darnold, all of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, they picked it up and they went with it.
Sure.
And they won.
Was the one-point victory something dramatic, something missed, something... It wasn't like a missed point.
It was all field goals.
Something or other?
No. It was all
field goals. Once again, a Minnesota kicker winning...
Backup
kicker for the Minnesota Vikings
and long snapper.
That's an oddity. By the way,
find two pen. Now there's going to be a quarterback or a kicker controversy in the offseason, I guarantee.
Yeah, but not during. At least it's not during the season. They've had. Usually the controversy is we don't have a kicker because he missed again.
I'll let them miss one or two. That'd be fine.
Okay.
Instead of going perfect and then missing that one.
Then you got that playoff pressure. What happened? No.
But they're looking – they're all going to – I mean, they're coming back and they're fighting. That last series, it was like 2.5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
They just went, we got to do this. And they had all the defensive stops. They had an interception, sack.
Who do they got coming down the stretch? Who they played this weekend?
Atlanta.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry. Yes, we talked about that. Yeah.
Let's see. You got 45 minutes. Seconds.
Tick. What else is happening? Are we still in some kind of season of something or something? Let's meander over to that piece of paper. Oh, that's good sound effects.
30 seconds.
Season of Giving, December 2nd. Starts now.
Yeah, it's now.
Through the 31st, you donate and you're entered to win money, and coffee, and mugs to put that coffee in, and boxes of cheese. And you can put those cheese in the mugs that you win. It's really a good thing because WDRT is good to everybody and they're great for the community. That's really about all I could say about that. And we are about 10 seconds away, so I can say very nice that everyone should have a really, really good weekend, and thanks for letting us opening up the doors. Thanks for pushing buttons.
You're welcome.
Did great today.
Thanks.
Everybody have a great weekend. Bye.